Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. President Abraham Lincoln said this, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day." With all that's happening around us, there are times we feel insufficient. Our own wisdom is insufficient. The wisdom of others is insufficient. But can I tell you, God is always sufficient. And we can call upon Him. The Apostle Paul, many times, 43 times recorded in one place I saw, that he had prayed during the scripturally recorded prayers of the Bible. He relied upon the Lord. You and I need to rely upon the Lord in daily life. We need Him for our own spiritual life, because Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." But we also need Him for our families. We need Him for this church. We need Him in our country. Listen, we need the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that work comes about through prayer. And so we need to pray, and pray for the things we need in general, but also for the spiritual needs of ourselves and for our families and the body of Christ. The scripture we're looking at today, Paul is offering a prayer to God on behalf of the Ephesian Christians. He's been talking about all of the blessings of God that they had, that both Jew and Gentile are part of the one body of Christ, and they have all these heavenly blessings and these blessings in Christ that are theirs. And Paul says, okay, based upon that, I'm going to pray for these specific things to happen spiritually in the lives of God's people. With all of the heritage that we have in Jesus Christ, we need to take advantage of it. Jesus said, "You have not because you ask not." Paul asked for them to know certain things and to be strengthened by the Spirit of God in their lives. And all of these things that he's praying for, he intends for them to live a strong Christian life. How did Paul come to begin to pray this way? Well, probably in his own spiritual life. He had learned the power of praying for victory and strength and so forth. But also, as he interacted in his churches, he recognized, I'm sure, time and time again, how God answered when he called upon his name. And it is amazing what God can do if we'll just ask him to do it. And so we need to pray for these needs, especially under the guidance of the Spirit. The title of my message is Why We Pray. And if you'll look with me at verse 14 of Ephesians 3, it says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that He may grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." All right, so why we pray? Why do we pray? Well, pray because our Father answers. Pray because our Father answers. One of the things you'll notice in this passage, you have all three members of the Trinity mentioned in this passage. God the Father, Christ, or God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then you also have the one true God that is mentioned as the Scripture teaches, one God in three persons. Just no extra charge for that. But sometimes people question whether or not the Trinity shows up in Scripture. Many places like this in the Bible. But he says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I think he's probably mentioning this idea of every family to remind them what he's just said about Jews and Gentiles together inheriting the blessings of God. And he says, look, I want you to call upon the name of the Father just as I'm calling on the name of the Father, because he answers. Why would Paul spend 43 times calling upon the name of the Lord just in the recorded incidences of Scripture if it wasn't effective and meaningful? I can't tell you how many prayers have been answered over the years. I've forgotten many of the prayers that I've prayed, but I have seen God answer over and over and over again. And sometimes he's answered. One of the great things about our God is not only is he omnipotent, which means he can do all things. He's omniscient. He knows how to do all things. And he knows what's best in every circumstance. But he also knows what is not good for us. So that when we call upon him and he answers, he sets it through the filter of his own knowledge and what he knows is best. And he answers according to what is best. So that means I don't have to worry about whether or not I ask him something if it's going to be bad for me. That he can protect me from what's bad for me as I call upon his name. That's a good thing. Somebody once said that God says his answers are yes, no, wait, or something better. I like that. I think Charles Stanley is where I heard that. Yes, no, wait, or something better. But sometimes God knows the great blessings, but God answers. And he delights to answer. One scripture says, how much more will the Father give the kingdom to those of us? Because of all that Christ has done for us, it shows us God's heart toward us and that he truly, desperately loves us. My kids were lucky growing up. They had, of course, the normal two sets of grandparents, but they also had aunts and uncles who were kind of like grandparents to them, too. All they had to do pretty much was breathe something that they wanted, and it would show up. And I never saw anything like it. And so this is the heart that God has for us. And listen, there are times maybe that God will not answer the way we desire because of our good, but he loves to answer the prayers of his children. Can I just tell you, be bold about it. Be bold about it. Bring your list to God. Bring your concerns, your burdens to God. Bring him your failure. Did you know that Jesus Christ already paid for our failure? If you know Jesus Christ today, if you've repented and put your trust in him, your sin is covered by the blood of Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So that means you can come before God and you can bring your brokenness to God. You can bring your failure to God and you can talk, not only to confess it and repent of it, but also to say, Lord, hey, I'm struggling with this. Would you help me out with this? I'm not sure what to do with this. And God can come and help us in the midst of it. And so it's just a wonderful thing that we can do because we belong to him and he loves us. Are you facing challenges in serving him? You can bring those to God. Are you burdened for that child or for this other individual that you love? You can bring that to the Lord in prayer, and God delights to answer. Paul says, I'm bringing this to the Father. Apparently, they were having trouble with spiritual opposition because it's mentioned in a number of places in Ephesians, and especially in Ephesians 6, there were demons, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world who were coming against the Ephesian Christians. But Paul is praying for them. Listen, I want to tell you something that's really remarkable. As we pray to God, we invite him into the situations of our lives. And can I tell you that our Lord Jesus Christ has more power in his little finger than all the demons of hell? There's a reason the demons trembled when Jesus approached. There's a reason they cried out in terror when they saw him coming, because he's the Lord and sovereign of all the universe. Every knee will bow to Jesus Christ, and every tongue will confess he's Lord. And so as we pray, did you know the devil's design to destroy your life, to destroy your marriage, to destroy your kids? Did you know he has a purpose and a plan? But can I tell you something? As you invite the Lord Jesus Christ into the situations of your life, he will overcome. And Joseph gave the testimony, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And God can even take the negative stuff that comes from the enemy and comes from the evil that's in this world and can take it and use it for good. This is the power of our Savior, and it's the power that we invite into our lives as we call on his name in prayer. So why should we pray? We should pray because our Father answers. Secondly, we should pray because our spirit, our Holy Spirit, strengthens. Look at verse 16. I pray, verse 16, I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit. Strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can strengthen us. And this is, I think this applies to other areas. Physically, I remember one time I was doing a community service. I got called the night before. The guy that was supposed to preach got sick or something, and he couldn't do it. And so they asked me at the last minute, and so I had very little time to prepare. I went and I prepared something, and then I remember at that time I didn't preach with notes. I have some limited notes now. But I remember getting up to preach that night, and I was sitting on the stage, and I thought, God, I was having asthma. I said, I can't eat. I got 7 points. I said, I can't remember one of them. And I'm going to get up and preach here in a few minutes. Lord, would you please help me? I don't know how I'm going to do this without you. And all I can say is I got up, and maybe God lets us feel our weakness in those times, but it was shortly after the 9/11 tragedy, and God just put a special anointing upon me, and I preached. And it was such that people were talking about it, that particular message, for a couple of years after that. I tell you that to tell you this: God can strengthen us physically. Okay, how does that happen? Listen, it's supernatural. I couldn't even. I'm sitting up here. I didn't even have the mental acumen to remember what I was going to preach. And God strengthened me. So we can trust him to help us with those situations. But I think primarily what God is pointing at here is a strengthening of us spiritually in our hearts. In Romans 8, Paul in Romans 7 talks about the fact, he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Woe is me. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you go into chapter 8, and he speaks about through the Spirit, we can walk in this new life and in victory. Galatians puts it this way. Walk in the Spirit, and you will surely not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's a pretty strong promise that God makes there. So we as Christians need to be walking in the Spirit. Well, how do we do that? Of course, there's a learning process to that. But one of the ways we do that is through prayer. There's a scripture in Luke that says, how much more will the Father give the Spirit to them that ask him? Now, if you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. But I believe that these places that talk about prayers for the Holy Spirit are asking for this empowerment and this strengthening and this filling for God's purpose and for the victorious Christian life that God wants us to live. Have you ever felt frustrated in your spiritual life? Have you ever felt like, boy, it seems like I blow it, and I blow it consistently in this particular area or that particular area, and I'm just frustrated, I'm tired of it. It seems like I work up my determination. I think I'm gonna do it right this time, and then I don't do it. You and I cannot live the victorious Christian life in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit. And one way that God teaches us how to walk in the Holy Spirit is by praying for that. I encourage you to pray, Lord, teach me how to walk in the Spirit and help the Spirit to strengthen me in my personal walk with God. But pray that for this body. Pray that for your family. What greater gift could you give them to teach them to walk closely with the Lord? So the Holy Spirit of God strengthens us. That old King James word I kind of like is quicken. He quickens us, right? My little four-year-old grandsons, they keep getting quicker and quicker. They look like they've been quickened by something. I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit, but, but the Spirit of God will quicken us and enable us to handle what we cannot handle in our own strength. So Paul says, I'm praying that you would be strengthened with power in your inner being through His Spirit, the Father who has sent the Holy Spirit through His Spirit. So this is something that we need to pray for. Pray for the Holy Spirit to strengthen you. Also, we ought to pray. Why should we pray? We ought to pray because our Father answers, because our Holy Spirit strengthens, because our Christ nourishes. Look at verse 17. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love. So he's saying, look, Christ is the one who dwells in our hearts by faith. Okay? So, by the way, everything we do in the Christian life, we do by faith, right? One scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So, but how do we overcome the world? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. How do we overcome the devil? Lifting up the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. How do we have our minds transformed so that we're not conformed to this world? We spend time in the Word of God, and God quickens our faith so that we can live a distinct and holy life. You see, faith is the key to all of it. But Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, so we come to Him in relationship, trusting that He wants to be with us and trusting in the sufficient sacrifice of His blood. But Paul says, I'm praying for this. Well, why would you pray for this? Well, because one of the things that God does is He quickens our faith. So if you want to have a better relationship with God, you need faith for that. And God will quicken you in your faith so that Christ can dwell in your heart in a special way. Now, we know if you belong to Christ, you're His, that He is with us. But I believe this is a special, if you want to call it an experience, a demonstration of Christ's presence with us, the manifest presence of God, something along those lines, Christ dwelling in our hearts. This is something that I think has to do with relationship, okay? Have you ever felt alone in a crowd of people? I have. But I know that there are times where we can be with just a few people and we can have, or maybe just one-on-one, right? And we have a sweet fellowship as we spend time together. I believe God wants us to have a sweet fellowship with Christ when we meet with Him. So Paul is praying for this. I want Christ to dwell in your heart by faith. Well, what's the result of this? The result is through the love that Christ shows to us in this relationship with God. He says, you are being, verse 17, rooted and firmly established in love. Now, I know there's the punctuation can put that love into the next verse, you know, kind of with the next verse, but it could also look backwards. Paul uses a bunch of run-on sentences. In English, that's not a good thing, but in Greek, that's great. And that's what Paul does. And he has run-on sentence after run-on sentence in the book of Ephesians. And this is one of those places. So Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith results in us being rooted and established in love. Rooted, what does that bring to mind? It brings to mind a root system of a plant, right? So that when Christ is dwelling in our hearts by faith, we're sucking up the nourishment that comes from that relationship, right? A couple of weeks ago, Sherry remarked as we were driving around town, she said, boy, we need some rain. Everything looks like it's just drooping and it just looks dry and parched. And we got rain. And those plants sucked up that nourishment and that water and the nourishment from the soil. And what a difference it made in just a couple of days. It looked completely different. The nourishment that Christ provides in our time with Him, and as we meet together as a body of Christ, is something that lifts us up and nourishes our soul. Someone recently was sharing with me that my soul is nourished through the Word of God. And hearing the Word of God. And what a blessing that is. How often have we come to the Word of God in a time of struggle and God just ministers to us and lifts us up and nourishes us as we spend that time with Him. This is the idea. But He also says that you'd be firmly established in love. So another thing Christ does, not only does He nourish us, nourish us by providing what we need, but He also establishes us in the Christian walk that we're living, right? The spiritual journey that we're taking, He gives us an established, strong situation. A lot of people don't understand that the love of God is the key to victory in the spiritual life. Because the love of God is what teaches us to keep coming back to Him. I remember one time I was preaching on eternal security and how eternal life is just that. It's eternal and it begins the moment you trust in Jesus. The scripture says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That begins the moment you put your trust in Christ, and that eternal life lasts forever. It's not life till you mess up. Can I tell you something? That's the foundation that enables you to have victory. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think, and I've had people tell me this, well, you people that believe in once saved, always saved, you just believe you can live any old way you want to live, and that you can get away with it, and we have some fear of God. You know, we believe if we mess up, we're going to hell. Okay, and they think that the motivation, how well has that worked in the past? Didn't the Israelites have the threat that if they didn't follow the teachings of God as a nation, that God would judge them? How well did they do with that? Not too well. They consistently rebelled against God. But how is it that in some cases that people begin to live a godly life and begin to have a holy life after living a wicked life? They find the grace of God. And they understand the love of God, and they're established in this love. As they meet with Christ, they commune with Christ, they're energized and empowered and established for the work of God that God has for their life. The love of God gives me the security to come to Him for help. The love of God shows me that I'm not in this by myself. Have you ever wondered, as you struggle in your walk with God, and you thought, boy, I need some help? Well, praise God, it's there for you if you know Jesus Christ, because you have Him. And Jesus has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. This is the promise of God. So we have hope, and we can look to Him, and we can learn how to walk by faith, and we can pray for the strength that we need. And then we find that over time we begin to grow, and those things that once had a pull on our life, we begin to have victory. Why? Because God's in it for the long haul with us. This is Him establishing us in love. So Christ nourishes our hearts. Now, there are times, and the regular nourishment that I experience through the Word of God or in times of prayer or worship, these are a great blessing, but then there are some times where I need special nourishment. Have you ever just felt like you're at the end of yourself? Have you ever felt like, Lord, I have no motivation, I'm not in the right frame of mind, and I don't know what to do about it? Here's where I'm at, Lord. I've been there a number of times in my spiritual walk, and sometimes I've not even known how to voice a prayer to ask God for what I need, because I really don't know what I need. Lord, something's up. I need help. Would you please supply it? And sometimes I've just simply prayed that prayer, and God would bring some things along that would nourish me and help me. Other times I've gotten alone with God, and I've said, Lord, I need to hear from you. Lord, I need your help. And I've spent some unhurried time in prayer, just dealing with some things, you know, and praying about different issues. And God would then bring a peace to my heart. We can ask God for this nourishment that we need. I encourage you to do that. All right, so pray that for others too. You know, a lot of times we're trying to nourish our hearts with the things of this world. And can I tell you something? One side of that is God has given us all things richly to enjoy. So the good things of life, what we eat and the things that we enjoy, these things are a gift from God. But the flip side of that is if you look to those things to the exclusion of God in your life, you'll find yourself coming up empty. Because only Christ can fulfill the deepest parts of our lives. One of the things I've recognized since I've been a child of God is that since Christ has been in my life, I've been able to enjoy other things on a greater level. So we need to come to Christ for the nourishment that only He provides, and we need to pray for that for others as well. All right, so why we pray? Why? Because our Father answers, because our Holy Spirit strengthens, because our Christ nourishes, next, because our Christ enables. Now, this is an interesting scripture. Most translations have something with good reason. There's a lot of discussion about the love of God in this passage, but my translation here says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, width, height, and depth of God's love. But the of God's love part comes from the context. It's not there in the original. So what is, and he says you could comprehend or you could attain with all the saints what is the length, width, height, and depth. And there are different views on what this refers to. Does it refer to the power of God? That's a possibility. That's in the context. Does it refer to the love of God? Obviously, that's in the context. And most people, I think, tend to gravitate toward that. But I like the fact that it's undefined, because Paul is praying for the people of God and saying, Lord, I want them to have all the breadth, all the length, all the height, all the depth of everything that you have for them. And I want them to be able to attain these things. So Christ is enabling God's people to experience the fullness of all God has to offer. Okay? Whether that's God's love, whether that's God's power, whatever it is. The breadth, height, length, depth, all of it is ours in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? So why does God give us power? Well, he gives us power to live the Christian life. That's his will for us. He also gives us power to fulfill the specific things that God has given us to fulfill. Right? If he's given you specific spiritual gifts, he'll empower you in the use of those spiritual gifts. He'll empower you to impact the people that he has put in your life so that you can influence them and pray for them and make a difference in their lives. He'll empower you with all of the things that have your name on them, right? So we can ask God to help us, to give us the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of everything he has for us. You know, sometimes I get in a discussion with people about the end times, and I actually love the hope that God has given to us. So I enjoy those discussions. But one of the questions that comes up a lot is, well, what about the things God hasn't told us about? And, I think that probably there's a lot of stuff that we wouldn't understand if God told us. Probably the same thing is true about our spiritual lives, right? How do we know what to pray? Well, God understands us better than we understand ourselves. God knows the end goal of what he desires for our lives. And a lot of times we don't even understand what direction he's taking us. And so as we pray this kind of prayer, we're praying, okay, God, I know that you've got a plan. I know you have all power, and I'm inviting your power into my situation, into my family, into my church, so that you can fulfill everything you desire to fulfill in us. Isn't that a great prayer? Think about the potential of that. Sometimes as parents, we've got ideas of what we want our kids to be, right? And sometimes you're trying to take that square peg and put it in a round hole, and it's not working right? But one scripture tells us we're to raise our kids up according to the bent that God has given them, those natural gifts that God's given them, and the way that God has designed them. And so as we pray a prayer of God, I'm not even sure what you're going to do with my child, but Lord, I'm praying for the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, that you'll give them everything you have to offer, and that you'll fulfill the purpose that you have for their lives, Lord, and that you'll show me how I can help them in realizing the purposes that you have for their lives, because you designed them for your purpose, right? Great prayer to pray. So our Christ enables us to attain these things. And this is one reason we should pray, for sure. So why should we pray? Pray because our Father answers, because our Holy Spirit strengthens, because our Christ nourishes, because our Christ enables, and because our God surprises. I like this one. Look at verse 20. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Our God surprises. He's able to do more than we ask. He's able to do more than we think. Have you ever had one of those discussions about what would you do if you won the sweepstakes, right? What would you buy? Well, you know, all this money you've got at your disposal, would you? Well, you, of course you would give a tithe to the church, right? You would maybe you've got a certain vehicle or something you're planning. Oh, if I could just, wow, I could do that, or I could get this house, or maybe I could pay off my bills, or whatever the case may be. And we imagine and we think about these things, and we have fun talking about what if this were to take place. Well, what God's saying here is you can't imagine or even conceive of the good that he can do for you. I'm glad that we have the Lord Jesus Christ interceding for us and the Holy Spirit of God interceding for us, because they understand the true extent of all that God has to offer. We don't even know how to pray. We don't know how to pray in a sufficient way because we can't even ask or think. But the Spirit groans with groans that cannot be uttered. And the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes at the right hand of God for us. And so we take our five loaves and two fish. Have you ever, I don't know if you've ever thought this before, but this is not so much the case now as it used to be. I remember when I was growing up, everybody used to use these and thous in their prayers, and we beseech, or we, you know, this old King James language, you know, for the prayers. Did you know you don't have to pray with that kind of language? You don't have to sound impressive when you pray. You just call out upon God in your own language, right? You call out upon God with the honesty of your heart, with the sincerity of your heart, and He delights to answer. But we bring our five loaves and two fish prayers to God, right? And what does Christ do? He takes it and multiplies it. He says, son, you can't ask. You don't know how to ask. You don't even know how to conceive of what I want to give to you. But I'm going to take this little request that you've made, and I'm going to break the bread, and I'm going to spread it out, and I'm going to multiply it, and I'm going to bring something greater than you even imagine. This is what God can do as we call upon His name. He surprises us. Sometimes He gives us, as we said earlier, something better. Something maybe we couldn't have even thought to ask. Maybe we wouldn't have conceived of. But God knows us. I like that promise. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we don't even know what we want. You ever have that? I remember when Megan was little, she would just agonize over decisions. And I told her, Megan, either choose or I'm going to choose for you. Okay? I just kind of got tired of it. Choose or I'll choose. And sometimes she didn't know what she wanted. But can I tell you something? God knows us. The Bible says He searches hearts and minds. He knows every word we're going to speak before we speak it. He sees the thought processes of our hearts. He understands us perfectly, which means He knows how to give us the best gifts. He knows how to do for us what we can't even ask or think of to request from Him. And He delights to do it because He's good. And I think when we get to heaven, we're going to see a lot of those things that we wouldn't be able to ask or conceive of, and there will be great, very great blessings indeed. So pray, because God can surprise you with what He's done. I remember, have you ever had somebody tell you that is simply impossible? You know, if you've read any business books, you've seen those stories, right? Because this business person, everybody told them it couldn't be done, and they figured out a way to do it and so forth. Well, God can do things that cannot be done. I've never seen a business book about speaking to winds and waves and they becoming a calm. Jesus can do what no human guru can do. And as we call upon Him, we invite the supernatural power and the supernatural wisdom of God into our situations so that He can make a difference. And as you think about the spiritual life, we're not in it alone. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God has plenty of grace for all of our failures. That's also a really wonderful thing, isn't it? Where sin abounds, there to grace much more abound. But God is also coming alongside us, with us, to help us grow, to help us become the people of God that He wants us to be, but we also need to call upon Him for the help that He wants to give. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for the faithfulness that You have shown to us as we've called upon Your name in the past. And Lord, thank You that You are our God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, who loves us and delights in us and is eager to hear. Help us bring the requests of our hearts, God, and especially the spiritual needs that we have and of those in our family and those in our church, God. Help us bring those things to you, trusting, Lord, that you are able to do more than we can ask or imagine. And Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I pray that they would repent and trust in you today while they have the opportunity to do that, and that you would open up this new opportunity to have this closeness with you for them.